Good morning. CJMQ 88.9 FM, Eastern Township's Community Radio, is proud to present the Word of Grace Broadcast Ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. The Sunday service begins at 10:30 a.m.
It's Sunday, the 20th of November, 2022. That means that in many church circles, it is the last Sunday before Advent when we remember Christ the King. Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. As regular listeners know, my name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and I trust and pray that the Lord will bless you in and through this broadcast. Christ the King draws us to many psalms which describe the monarchy of God. One of them is Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spears. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Our loving God, it stirs our spirits and warms our hearts when we think of you as the Lord, the King, the Monarch who rules on high at the centre of the universe. We acknowledge our world is troubled, broken, torn apart by wars and rumours of wars, by illness and disease. Yet somehow beyond the catastrophe of this world, we hold that at the centre of this universe and all that is made is a God of perfect righteousness. You created all things in heaven and on earth, and sent for our guidance your law and your prophets. Out of your deep mercy, you have come to us in fullness in Jesus the Christ, your anointed one who rules wisely, shepherding your people and setting them free. And though he is your visible image, he was crucified as a criminal. But you raised him as the firstborn from the dead, and through him you're reconciling all things to yourself. And now you're reaching out to all who honour you, and recognise your chosen one in the agony of death, and welcoming them into the paradise of your presence. God of wisdom and warning, we confess that we often prefer our own plans to your purposes. We shrink from acts of service that seem too demanding. Forgive us when our commitment wavers, and we think someone else will take up the challenge we face. Inspire us with the example of Jesus, and energize us with your Spirit to follow him as our shepherd wherever he leads. Christ embodied God's love and mercy so powerfully that he offered forgiveness to his tormentors from the cross. In grace he reaches out to us too. Receive his forgiveness this day and offer it to others for his sake. And indeed, for his sake and in his name we ask it. Amen. Our reading in Luke 23 begins at verse 33, and the passage describes how Jesus was crucified as King of the Jews. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched when the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches.
Because
I'm happy.
Because I'm happy.
I sing.
I sing.
Because
I'm free.
For His eye.
His eye.
Is on.
Is on.
The sparrow.
Is on the sparrow.
And I know.
The Soccer World Cup kicks off this coming week in the Middle Eastern state of Qatar. It's the first time it's being held in the Middle East, and the first time in winter. And of course, Canada is there. It's not a competition without its difficulties, social, political, and religious. The hereditary Emir of Qatar holds nearly all executive and legislative authority, as well as controlling the judiciary. He appoints the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, and that's a pretty powerful kind of ruler, an all-powerful monarch. Compare that with our own King Charles III, and he's a different kind of ruler. The automatic reply is that King Charles is a constitutional monarch, and in a democracy, under the law, he fulfills a position of enacting the law. He's a different kind of king from the ruler of Qatar. When Jesus was crucified, it was between two criminals, and he was insulted by Jewish leaders and Roman soldiers, and indeed one of the criminals himself. The inscription over Jesus' head read both his title and his crime. It read, King of the Jews. What kind of king? What kind of king is this that finds himself on a cross? What kind of power does he have? The people of his day did not recognize him as a king either. Interesting that just a week earlier on Palm Sunday, he had entered Jerusalem riding on a colt, a foal of a donkey, which was the traditional way of entering the city for the kings of old. It meant they came in peace to accept the mantle of a king of Israel. It meant he came as a saviour and not as a destroyer. And yet here we are on Christ the King Sunday, reading not that he was crowned as a king, but that he was killed as a common criminal, his only crown, a crown of thorns. The people who shouted Hosanna now shouted Crucify. And the two criminals point us in two directions about the kingship of Jesus. One of the criminals there kept deriding Jesus. More sarcasm from this one beside him in the sake of circumstances. Only it's now, save yourself and us. This criminal was interested in his own fate, not that of Jesus. If Jesus was a king, then this criminal wanted Jesus to use his power to solve this thief's problem, to deliver him from all his troubles and bring him out of it, and to make his life comfortable, even if his troubles were of his own creation. Oh, how would long for that kind of king, a king of the quick fix and easy solutions, a magic genie of the lamp who will grant our three wishes. Perhaps he laughs and mocks and scorns Jesus because he sees him on a cross. If this were a king from God, God's anointed one, God's Messiah, then what was he doing on a cross? Ha! He's just a joke of a king. And we can hear that language in our own times. If Jesus were a king, then we wouldn't have all this trouble in the world or in our lives. If Jesus were a king, why do we have wars and rumours of wars, chaos and catastrophe, disaster and disease? And those are big questions, and we wrestle with all kinds of issues. But do you notice how the reaction of this first thief is essentially interest for himself? What can this king do for me? Less you do what I want you to do for me, then you aren't much of a king. Doesn't that sound odd when you think about it? Telling a monarch what they can and cannot do, what they should or should not do. It is not that Jesus is a king, it is that this thief thinks that he is a king, that he can determine what this king should do. And don't all of us think we should determine what God should do, what God should do for us? And then we have this other criminal, the penitent thief we know him as. This other criminal preaches, as it were, to the first one, rebuking him, reminding him that their death sentence is a just one, unlike that of this middle fellow who is innocent. And this penitent thief's admission of guilt and acceptance of just punishment is the beginning of a change of heart and mind, even at this late hour. And he sees in Jesus something of another dimension, another kingdom. Not of guilt and punishment, but of grace and forgiveness. The innocent dying in the place of the guilty. Someone who is crushed by the injustice of the world, the unfairness of life, and yet seeming even master of it as he calls down forgiveness on those who mock him. And so the penitent thief, in his spirit at this hour of death, saw more than human eye can see. He can see the difference between Jesus and himself and the other criminal. Oh, externally they may all look the same, but there's more to Jesus than meets the eye. And this penitent thief has contacted that more, and he responds. His heart is melted. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amidst all the personal humiliation and mockery, this penitent thief speaks to Jesus as he would to a king. He consigns his future, his destiny, his own will to the ordering of this king. He requests to be remembered, remembered for good when Jesus gets past all this criminality, all this violence, all this terror, all this guilt, all this death. There's no question about the criminal being able to do anything to merit this gracious remembrance. He's soon to die, unable to do anything good except to turn his heart to Jesus. And this penitent thief represents the one who recognizes the authority and the kingship of Jesus, that Jesus has come to save, to save the broken ones, like him, like us. To other human eyes, this crucified reject of a king looks anything but a king. But this penitent thief recognizes in Jesus, in his way of dying and his way of living, someone who belongs to another kingdom, a kingdom that will endure when sin and death and destruction and darkness have done their worst. By faith, this thief looks at Jesus and declares him king. This king can take the worst of life and change it into the best of life. And for those who will have this man to reign over them, he brings light and life in the midst of darkness and death. And isn't that the kind of king we need? On the 6th of May 2023, there will be a coronation of King Charles III. Yet Jesus was crowned king by this thief 2,000 years ago. This thief surrendered his future to Jesus, and his example invites us to surrender our future to Jesus, our King and our Saviour.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies.
Yes, he knows just what I need.
Let us pray. On this Christ the King Sunday, we remember that Christ's kingship does not shy away from the agony of the cross, the vulnerability of becoming flesh, the risk and betrayal of human relationships in times of danger and threat. In our prayers for others, we are committing those we pray for into the hands of one who knows the frailties and troubles of human life. Lord, we pray with love for those who are lonely or in pain, and for those who care for family and friends in time of need. We acknowledge the stress of being a carer and the sometimes conflicting feelings of those who are cared for. Bring courage and encouragement, dear Lord, to situations of conflict and rest for those who bear the heaviest burdens. We pray with faith for those whom we love the most, and for those who have no one to name them before you. May your presence surround and bless them today and always. May they know they are loved and known and seen by you. For those who grieve the loss of one they loved, we pray especially that you will encourage them with strong memories and a confidence in your loving purpose, which holds all souls in life. May we all take comfort from your words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We give you thanks for the witness of those who knew and followed you as their Lord and King, and showed us what it meant to be a Christian. In gratitude, we acknowledge those who surrendered their lives to the rule and the reign of the one who became a fool on the cross for us. May we follow their example and pray with them, Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. And hear us now as further we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you in these days, and I encourage you to continue in a journey of faith. You'd be very welcome to join us at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke at 256 Rue Queen Street at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, or indeed to reconnect perhaps with your previous congregation that you may have known in these times. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
All the armies of the world will someday gather, and they'll pass before the great reviewing stand, and they'll beat their swords and weapons in the plowshares, and the Prince of Peace will give the last command. Unobscured, the sun will drive away the shadows at the dawning of that great eternal day. And there'll be no sounds of crying from the ghetto, for all grief and pain and death will pass away.
When King Jesus comes to live with us again, he will show his righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past, there'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, wars and strife will all be past, there'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast, brought to you each Sunday by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. The church is located on Queen Street in Lenoxville. The service begins at 10:30 a.m. St. Andrew's has a strong tradition of service in this area, working for the advancement of Christ's kingdom by honoring the past, welcoming the future, and being faithful in the present. St. Andrew's encourages you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.